Okay, so let's try to finish up Korech today, I hope. I don't know. So yes, last time we did Rashbam. So if we go back to the questions we said you have to ask. According to Rashbam, how many shitot are there in the Gemara? Two or three? Three. There is, you must do Korech. You may not do Korech because it means mevat lo zuzu. And you can do Korech. That's right. Furthermore, according to the Rashbam, in the time of the Mikdash, what was in said sandwich? Pesach Matzah Maror, which will shed light on the question of what type of Zecher LeMikdash is it. It's not a recreation, but it's a mere commemoration because it's missing a key element, which then forces you to ask formally what type of Zecher it is, because sometimes we have Zecher as the why and sometimes we have Zecher as the what. Right? Meaning, sometimes you have a halacha that is a full halacha. Right? It has the status of, let's say, a full derabanan. The motivation for it is Zecher LeMikdash. Right? Sometimes you have it where Zecher LeMikdash is the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. It itself is not a normal level mitzvah. It is a lesser type of a mitzvah because it is a mere Zecher. Right? So, for example, you have the position in the Gemara in Menachot one position is quoted as saying that you, when you count Shvir Omer Bizmanazeh, if you assume it's not Doraita, that Mimne Yome Velo Mimne Shvua, you only count the days and not the weeks. Even though in the time of the Mikdash, you would have counted days and weeks. So there you see that Zecher isn't just the motivation, but it's actually the Chetza, that in order for it to be a Zecher, it can't be a recreation of that which is in the Mikdash. It has to be a mere commemoration, which then leads to the question, okay, what about the main Shita in the Gemara, that Mimne Yome Vim Mimne Shvua, that we count days and weeks? So is that arguing and saying it's not a Zecher, or is it saying it is a Zecher, but it's a different type of a Zecher, it's a recreation, right? Where Zecher is the motivation, but not the Tzura. Right, the tzura of the mitzvah is the same as it was in the time of the Mikdash. It's a mimicry, okay? Oh, of course it's different. It's different, no, obviously not, because it's not Doraita. It's not at the level that it was, but it may be that the act is the same, but at a different level.
So is there a running theme between which things in commemoration we do that?
So that's a complicated sugya, which I don't think we can fully flesh out today. I want you to keep this in mind. I've done it before. Did we do it last year? I'm trying to think. No, I don't think we did. I think we did it. I'm trying to think what sugya we were doing that we taught it here. Definitely when we did Menachot 3 years ago, when we were doing Sfirat Omer, so I taught it. Okay. I'm trying to think if we've done it since then. Yeah, maybe in Bava Batra we did it. So 2 years ago, because we were doing the morning ones. Right, the Avelud Zecher LeMikdash of leaving the square Amma and stuff like that. We might have done it in that context also. We'll see whether we have time to do it. It's a fascinating sugya in general, but we're not this second. But I do just want you to keep that in mind, that according to Rashbam, at some level, this is a mere commemoration because the act is fundamentally different than it looked like in the Mikdash. I mean, in the Mikdash, it would have had Pesach Matzah Maror, and now you say Zecher LeMikdash, but it can't be a mimicry because it would be an imperfect mimicry. Whereas, according to the Rambam, even in the time of the Mikdash, as we'll see, it was only matzah and maror. It's a perfect mimicry. It was a matzah maror sandwich that was contingent on the existence of the Pesach. But it's a perfect mimicry. Right. And therefore, it opens the possibility that the Zecher is a different type of a Zecher. Right? That it's actually... okay.
Now, where do we get that from the Pesachim?
Okay, so now let us look at Tosfot. So Tosfot said, "Ati maror di rabbanan mevatel lematzah de oraita." So first of all, Tosfot says, "Well, why is di rabbanan mevatel de oraita?" So he says, "Well, what would you say about something that's not even di rabbanan?" If you say that derabanan ki mevatel daraita, whatever that means, and we'll come back to that in a minute, so would you think that something that's not derabanan? So on the one hand, you might say it's not. Why? Good, right? So one possibility is to say, well, it doesn't count as anything. If something's derabanan, at least it's some halachic significance, and therefore it can affect, right? It's recognized in halacha, but it's not as important daraita. So when you do it at the same time as daraita, it can be mavata. Now again, does that work according to Rashbam, who thought that bittul is about taste? No, that we spent a long time trying to defend the Rashbam, which is if it's taste. So how could it be that there's a difference with daraita and darabanan? In the end, the taste either is or is not mavata. And we said, yeah, but maybe, right, based on the Rav, that everyone agrees that they're supposed to, that matzah and maror somehow join the question of whether they're meant to be a sandwich or they're meant to be paired. But if that's the case, then when God, you know, the chef for this night, has told you to pair the matzah and the maror, so shine. Right, then the taste is not mevatel it. But if it weren't that, so then it would be mevatel. Now, in that context, what would you say? Based on that rubric we set up from the Rashbam, if the object wasn't even derabanan, would it be mevatel? 100%. Right? Because we already said, it's the taste that's mevatel, and it's only when they're at the same level, daraita, and God told you to pair these two foods together. So then it creates a holistic experience that was ordained by God. Fine. But if it's a non-mitzvah, forget Darabon. If it's a non-mitzvah, it makes it even worse. Okay, but Binyamin says maybe not. Maybe that's not so obvious. Within the Rashbam, it's obvious. But why is it not obvious? Because Binyamin comes along and says, who says bittul? I'll put words in Binyamin's mouth, but that's okay. Who says bittul is about taste? Who says bittul is about taste? Doesn't sound like taste. So it's not about taste. Then what is it? Good. So we don't know. We haven't yet seen any other shita.
Unadulterated.
Good. So let's give some possibilities. So look, for example, I'm gonna skip around here to try to get us in. So look at the Meiri. There's not really skipping around. Look at two. Meiri says, "Inyan bittul mitzvah zu et zu." What is this nullification of mitzvah? It's on the source sheet. It's the number two on the source sheet. Lav bittul tam hu. It's not about taste. Sharei eina tam bittul b'kach. Because you can still taste it. Okay, good. He says b'mitziyut. Now, anyone who's ever had karech, do you taste the matzah? Yes. Do you take the maror? Yeah. So, Meiri, being very lumdish about this, took a karech sandwich, ate it, and said, this tastes like strawberries. No, it doesn't. It tastes like just matzah. Nope, that's not true. It tastes like just maror. No, that's not true either. It tastes like matzah with maror. Aha! It can't be taste. I'm just guessing that this was basically how the Meiri came to his very lumdish position. He's like, look, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not taste. There are also conceptual reasons to challenge the Rashbam, which Meiri doesn't seem to have, right? The conceptual reasons, again, to challenge the Rashbam were what we said last week, which is, if it's about taste, what difference does it make? Daraita, darabanan, who cares? So he says, it's not that. Ella shechibuv mitzvah, the love of the mitzvah, matzrich, requires shelo le'arev tam acher imo, ella imkeni tam mitzvah shekimota o chamura mimena. The love of the mitzvah requires that you not mix another taste with it, unless it is the taste of a mitzvah which is equivalent or more stringent than it. Very good. I'll read it again. Chib of mitzvah is the love of a mitzvah, matzrich, which requires la'arev tam acher imo, to not mix another taste with it, ella imkeni tam mitzvah shekmota, unless it is the taste of a mitzvah like it. O chamura mimena. Umi kol makom kosu derech achilato. But if it's done in the way of eating, ein bo bittul, there's no bittul. Ein tana mikan lasher shlo tavel achilat amotzi bedavshil. And therefore, it does not tell you to not dip bread on hamotzi in a dip. Adarava kachi achilato. That is its normal eating.
Wait.
Good. So who does the Meiri hold like? Binyamin. Meiri says, whoa. This is a very interesting category. It's called, I don't even know what it's called. I don't know what you want to call it, right? He says, that the love of a mitzvah, call it what you want, meaning the significance of a mitzvah, the way we show honor to the mitzvah is by approaching it.
With reverence.
Yeah, but how do you do that for him? Keeping it pristine, right? Keeping it pure so that when I experience the mitzvah, I experience it itself. So now you would say, if I just had the first half of the line, I would say, okay, it's some sort of honor of the mitzvah. Right? It's like the way that when you daven, you're not supposed to daven while you're doing other things. Right? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be, you know, Baruch Atah. What does my phone say? Ah, you know, you're not supposed to be davening and checking your WhatsApps and like, Baruch Atah Hashem. I got a WhatsApp from Regensburg. Elokeinu Melech Olam. Oy, I have Taranut. You know, like, that's not how you treat a mitzvah. But when you were davening, right, you focus on God. So now, if I pause there, so he's saying the same thing is true of taste, that when you're dealing at least with an eating mitzvah, the chibur of a mitzvah is that I savor this experience. So now, if I stop there, and I asked you, okay, if the other thing that is being mixed into this story is not a mitzvah at all, does it make it better or worse? Or not make a difference. So it might not make a difference, except then he quickly transitions into Binyamin. And he says, no, that's not right. Because he says, let's say I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm making hamotzi at a normal Shabbos meal. So it's a mitzvah. So now you would say, it's a mitzvah. I have to savor the challah. So can I dip it into hummus? Can I dip it into tchina? Can I dip it into oil with za'atar? Can I dip it into... Very good. So now you'll tell me, it makes it taste better. So what?
So you're enhancing.
One second. So it, and therefore?
It's still pristine.
Very good. So he says, look, derech achilato. He's a little bit more formal than you. He says, that's the normal way to eat challah. So don't tell me. So he says, if it's the normal way to eat challah, I dip my challah in my hummus, I dip my challah in whatever. The kachi hidurlo. That's better for it. Tastes better. So now he has a very interesting position. So according to him, if it's a non-mitzvah, but it's the normal way of eating, then
it adds to the experience.
So it's not what it sounds like in the first line. It's not that I need to savor the experience by itself. It's what can I do?
You can add to it in a way that...
Exactly. Meaning I need to be true to the normal way of experiencing this. Now, from that perspective, is a mitzvah derabanan better or worse? Worse. It's worse. Why is it worse? Exactly. Meaning, why am I eating the maror with the matzah? Is it because this is the normal way to eat matzah?
No.
No, it's because there's a mitzvah derabanan to eat matzah. Does that blur my experience in a way that eating with challah with hummus does not? Yeah, exactly. Because it's not about taste, because taste, hummus is even stronger. And it's not really about being a pristine experience, because if it was about being a pristine experience, I couldn't have my challah with my hummus, because I'm doing the mitzvah of having my bread meal on Shabbat. But what is it about? It's finding ways to show the proper honor to the mitzvah. And from this perspective, if I'm eating the mitzvah food with non-mitzvah elements, for what purpose? To make it a better eating experience. So then, am I showing proper honor to the mitzvah? 100%. But what if I take something which I wouldn't eat with it, but I am because I'm commanded to, but at a lower level than the mitzvah? Then am I showing honor to it? No, because it's not the normal way to eating it. It's I'm giving the rabbis the right to interfere with my eating experience that God commanded.
What if I would have put lettuce in anyway?
Right, so this is the problem. I understand. But I'm just trying to read the Meiri, right? Meaning the Meiri is essentially, and it's, I'll be honest, I'm not fully settled on it. But you understand what he's getting at, right? He's saying, look, challah and chumos, because chumos is bechal, not halachic, the reason I'm eating it is because that's the way I eat it. So I'm showing honor to the mitzvah. And if the matzah and the maror were equal mitzvah on a d'oraita level, would I be showing honor to the mitzvah? Yes, because God told me to pair them. But if the chef told me to have this by itself and the waiter says, oh, but I like it with ketchup. Right? You understand what it's like this, right? If, to give the following dogma. If you go to the 3 Michelin star restaurant, who wants to be the chef today? Mo wants to be a 3 Michelin star with that mustache, of course, right? 3 Michelin stars. So, you have the French fries, the 3 Michelin star worthy French fries. And it comes out with, the equally scrumptious 3 Michelin star ketchup or whatever dip that, with French fries?
Yes.
It's your restaurant. The 3 Michelin star barbecue sauce that Chef Mo made specifically for these French fries. So that's the equivalent of what? 2 mitzvot d'oraita. Because the chef himself, or God himself in mitzvah case, said these are supposed to be paired. That works. But if instead, no, I need a tzivu here. But instead, who wants to be the waiter in Mo's restaurant?
Kobe does.
Kobe wants me. So Kobe is the waiter on his first day, and he hasn't learned the ways of Chef Mo. And he comes in, and he sees the French fries, and he's like, who wants to be okay, Morty is dining there. So Kobe brings it to Mo, and he says, oh, those look like amazing French fries. I think that would be served well with ketchup. And he tells you, why don't you try it with ketchup? At this point, Chef Mo comes in, and he takes the French fries, and he throws them in the air. Like, this is an abomination. This is not how it's supposed to be paired. So that's more or less what the Meiri is saying. He's saying if they're both d'oraita, so then the pairing of tastes is fine. If, however, somebody, it sounds like this is what the Meiri is saying, but if someone else comes in and says you should pair it with this, that's already an abomination, right? It's an abomination. But, and this is his chiddush, but what if it's not Kobe, it's not, right, Chef Mo, but Chef Mo leaves on the table salt, okay? Because he just leaves it there, because that's how everyone eats it, with a little bit of extra salt, okay? So then, no one commands, no one anything, it's just there, because that's what everyone has. Then, it's fine, right? Because It's just what people do. No one's telling you to do it. No one's not. That's how you like it. He understands that he puts in, right? Chef Mo understands that people have different palates, and there's a range of sodium intake that people enjoy in their French fry eating experience, and he leaves it. Mashu balachem, doesn't matter. That doesn't diminish it. And that seems to be the very happy equilibrium that Miri is trying to reach in this conceptual analysis, which is, if it's not a mitzvah at all, but people do it because it's normal, so then that's fine. But if someone, and if the original planner, i.e. God, said, eat them together, also fine. But Dafka, the fact that it's a mitzvah, they're a bonon for him, seems to make it worse. Because you're not doing because this is normal. Right? You're doing because someone told you. But it's not the person who understands the situation fully, who understands the essence of these French fries, who understands why they have 3 Michelin stars. They don't hop. It's just because Kobe wants to make extra money to buy Svarim. We already established that Kobe is very, right, lives on, like, you know, we came up with some plan of how he could learn for the rest of his life on a minimal salary. I don't remember what it was. In some previous year, we came up with some plan. I don't remember what we did.
But, Rebbe, that's only going to bummer when Mara is driven. I mean, they only see that one more.
Correct. So let's, but okay, just to be convinced that what I said is right. Okay, good, good. But let's read what I just said back to Meiri to make sure that I'm not making this up. Okay, let's read it again, and then we'll come back to Tosu. So Meiri says, "Inyan bittel mitzvah zulazu lav bittel tamu." Said it's not taste. Now at that point, if I'd read the Meiri, I would have said it's not about taste at all. Except, is that what the Meiri says? No, because he brings it in. Sure, ain't a tam batal bekach, because you still taste it. Ela shechibov mitzvah, the love of the mitzvah, matzrich shel arev tam acher imo, requires that you don't mix an external taste with it. Ela imkain, he tam mitzvah shikmota, unless it is the taste of a mitzvah like it, o chamura mimena, or greater than it. Umikol makom, nevertheless, so now you might have thought that something that's not a mitzvah is worse, he says, is not true. Kol shehu derech achilato, if it's the way of eating it, ein bo bittel, it doesn't nullify, ein tano mikan, and therefore that you can make no claim based on this, as sor shelo letabel achilat hamotzi, that you shouldn't dip when you eat bread, betavshil, in a cooked food. Adiraba, on the contrary, kachi achilato, that is the eating. Vekachi hidurlo, and that's its beauty. Vahare charoset, and now he gives you another manifestation of this. Charoset af ledara omer she'ino mitzvah, even if you hold it's not a mitzvah at all. Lo haynu omrin bo shitabal acher shekach I derech achila. You wouldn't tell him to dip it, because it's achila. He says, that's why no one should say you should do dipping in charoset, except the Rambam does. The Rambam tells you to dip the matzah in charoset, and the Miri says, ve'ein ha'dvarim nirin. Wrong. It's wrong. Right, but you see, right, I'm pretty sure I'm getting the Miri right here. Right, the Miri thinks that because it's about showing proper respect to the mitzvah, what you're supposed to do is either eat it in the way that the chef, in this case God, told you to pair it, or in the way you enjoy it. Both of those are normal. What's not normal is exactly allowing someone else to tell you how to eat your French fries in a way that neither the chef nor you would, or the chef didn't tell you to do, and you don't naturally do that, that is a corruption of the experience. And from that perspective, it sounds like the Meiri is like Binyamin, which is that it being a mitzvah d'rabbanan makes it worse. Now, this is not at all an obvious analysis. Right. Is it? It's not an obvious Yeah, exactly. Meaning, I think that's what he's getting at. He's saying, if that's the case, then shouldn't you allow you dipping matzah and charoset because it's, if it's not a mitzvah, then why are you doing it? Because it's normal, and presumably here he's like,
No,
that's my guess, is that he just thinks it's not normal. But again, this is not obvious. Right? I think I'm right in reading the Meiri that he's essentially trying to come up with a logic for Binyamin's intuition, which is that it's worse to mitzvah derabanan than not necessarily everything, but something which is not a mitzvah, which is normally eaten with it, is better. But it's not about taste. It's about respecting the experience. So taste is part of it. He doesn't totally divorce it from taste, because it's sort of weird, right? He says it's not about taste, and then then he sort of does make it about taste. And that's why it seems to be more about experience, and taste in that sense is part of that story. Maybe.
that's a way that you could say that you're not violating the truth of Mexico?
Maybe. Now, I mean, look, I'll read you some other formulations maybe before we get back to Toast Vote. Like I said, I didn't give you Rabinovitch just because it's very, very long, but I'll read you. He has a few formulations. He quotes, Harav Mori, Natre Rachmona, my Rebbe, Ramban, Hayomer She'en HaKavana Bevitol Tam Mamash. It's not about taste. So Rashbam out. But again, is it not about taste? No, he says it's not about Tom Mamash. Ella shachilat hamatzah, eating the matzah, shehi mitzvah alav, which is a commandment on you, he betela mimenu, it is nullified from you, kisha ochla im davar shel reshut. If you eat it with something which is optional. So what does that sound like? Right, this seems to be, I would say, a version of the Meiri, but without the Meiri's caveat. Right, which is, a mitzvah experience has to be done with things of its ilk and nothing less. But according to him, it sounds like, right, he says, even davar shel reshut, the point of it is the mitzvah, it now must be experienced by itself. Now, he says...
I guess this doesn't differ from the Meiri too much, but that like if it's God given, then that necessarily makes it part of it.
Correct. I think he would definitely say that. And he says, and this is what he says about that position, Velonit Chaverli. I don't understand it. It's not clear to me. Then he gives his own. Okay. I didn't give it to you because it's not a Bar Ilan. I have to give you the whole PDF file. Rabbeinu David. The Yoter Nira Lomar, but we'll come back to Tosfos in just a second. The Yoter Nira Lomar, so he says, I think it's more Shehu Bitol Ha'achila. It's a nullification of the eating. Shamor Kishehu Shal Reshut, because the Moror, which is optional, Yesh Lachish Bo, you have to be worried, Shemalefim Yehebo Kidei Bitol. That there would be enough shivatel tama matzah, there'd be enough to get rid of the taste. Ushema yehi mafsik bachilat hamatzah uposelet ba, or that it would mafsik. Very good. So he has two possibilities. One is that he does seem to be something like taste, except he says it's not taste. So he says it's not about taste. It's more like it physically nullifies it. And the other is that bittel doesn't mean bittel. What does it mean? Hefsik, which is that it's good. So according to him, what does it sound like? It's that, what am I doing? Let's imagine you hold like a minchanana. What is the karech? I'm wrapping the matzah in the maror. So now, is the matzah touching my mouth? No, it's touching the maror. And from the vantage point of matzah, does maror exist as a chiyuv when it's derabanan? No. And therefore, what is it? A hefsik. Between my mouth and the matzah. So what is he saying? It's meaning, what is it doing? It's not bittel. What is it doing? Exactly. It's removing the maisa achila from, it's right, removing the shame maisa achila. It's making it not eating of the matzah. Now, according to any of these formulations, that is about bittel quantitatively of what I'm putting in my mouth. This sandwich is now defined by maror, which it shouldn't be because it should be matzah. Or that it's removing the shame maisachilot matzah because there's something interrupting between my mouth, my palate, and the matzah. According to both of those, coming back to Binyamin's point, is it better or worse if that which you are eating with the matzah is not a mitzvah, not even a mitzvah derabanan, presumably? Well, worse, right? Meaning at least as bad, right? At least as bad or worse. Sure. But even, right, so reshut would be worse. That's my point. It's spiritually interrupting. Sure, still, if it's reshut, it would be worse because it's more spiritually interrupting. So the Meiri alone, so far, defends the position like Binyamin, but all the formulations are Benu David, well, that taste is nothing, but if it's about either physical bittul, like there's too much non-matzah in my mouth, and it was mavatel, the act of eating, or it's a hefsik, and it divides between my mouth and the food, both of those, it would sound like you were having lettuce around matzah. Now I eat it. Your mouth is, the mouth feel of what you have is. Yes, I don't know how literally he means hefsik. Good. I don't, except he says he compares it. No, but he compares it, karachan basiv. He compares it to the case of putting it in a pill. He literally thinks hefsik. Right? Hefsik slash, it's mevatel the maisa achiva. So he says, he says, why is that when you swallow matzah mar your yotzei? Eino ela bizman shamar nami da'araita. That was only when the mar was da'araita. Mitam mitzvah ein mevatlo zu et zu.
Also, it's not inherently. I guess he's holding that it touching your mouth from the moment that you put it into your mouth. That's where achila starts, and if you don't accomplish that, then you haven't really done achila. That's a huge
So now again, I'll just read you here the footnote. I'm just going to read you quickly the footnote and the brevet note. I can send you the whole thing. But Benezer Akodesh Lizvachim Sham Tivin Leperish Hazeh. So Nezer Zvachim says something like this. And he says, Umashmare Mirabenu, right? It sounds like from Rabbeinu Davidch, Imkarach Matzah Bedavar Machal She'eno Inyan LeMitzvah, that if you were to wrap the matzah in something that's not a mitzvah at all, Shechotzeitz Bein HaMatzah LeGrono, that it creates a hefsik between the matzah and your throat. Are we agreed that that seems to be what Rabbeinu David would conclude? Good. V'zeh Shelo K'masher Katav Pri Chadash. But he knows the Pri Chadash disagrees. Behavi Mishnah Brura. And the Mishnah Brura paskins like the Pri Chadash. She'im karach ha-matzah b'shar mine ochlin, that if you wrap the matzah in other foods, yatsa yedei chovato, you do fulfill your obligation. She'shneim mine ma'achal, because they're both food. V'derech achila b'kach.
If it's
derech achila, good. And that sounds more like who that we already saw? Meiri, very good. Right? That the Pri Chadash and Mishnah Brura sound like they're going in the direction of the Meiri. Vinestayeya minatosefta, and this is supported from the Tosefta Sof Zavin, the end of Masechet Zavin, Gabe Ochel Basar Nivlat Of Tahor, that if you're eating the meat of a kosher bird that was eaten, that died without shechita, right, that's a nevela, right? And there's a special halach of tuma that comes with nivlat of tahor. With nivlat of tahor, it's a special halacha. She'im okarcha bechazeret ubala, that if you wrap it in lettuce, ubala tame, and you eat it, you swallow it, you're still tummy. It's called eating, but besiv, if you put in, let's say, a pill, ubala tahor.
Because eating a bird with lettuce is derech achila, therefore it's not considered a hefsek.
Correct.
Is that it? Okay, fine.
Right, that's what it sounds like. Exactly.
I don't know why you would use lettuce, but it's so confusing because it's already talking about.
Yeah, but that's just the case there. Now I'll just read you the Mishnah Brura based on the Pri Chadash, right, who paskins based on the lumders that we developed from the Meiri, which is like Binyamin. So Binyamin, you're in good company. V'imkarach ha-matzah b'davol ma'achal u'bala, and if you wrap the matzah in food, yatza, ava b'she'ez hefsek mein ha-matzah legrono, even if there's a hefsek between the matzah and your throat, kevan she'shneim minei ma'achal, since both of them are food, derech achila bekach. Now again, according to this, The only reason that it doesn't work with Maror is what? Because, no. Well, why is it not Derech Achila? Because you're only doing it because you were commanded to do it. Right? This was your Svara. Yeah, meaning the Mishnah Brura, the Pri Chadash, seemed to be following the analysis that we got based on the Meiri. Exactly.
Is it normal to eat Maror?
Yeah.
So, like retroactively, now it isn't. It's
a little bit weird how he's comparing that ways to the
Right now, I just point out that whether you think what's the nafka mina if you think that what he's saying is that it's not derech achila, or that he means it very seriously when he says it's a hefsek, is what if you ate it together but didn't wrap it? It's a
little separation,
right? It would be what happens if you didn't wrap it; you just ate them together. Because if you think it's mamash about hefsek, so then a korech sandwich would be fine. Right, the way we eat a korech sandwich would be fine. According to everyone, because you're just eating them together, but the matzah is still touching your throat. It would only be when you did it Rabbi Hananel style that you literally wrap the matzah inside of the maror that it wouldn't work.
But I'm still so confused because you could just chew, and then it touches.
And that's why he talks about bala, right? That it's about swallowing.
So it needs to still...
Correct. So it could be, and then we have to get into all types of interesting cases. What happens if I don't? Then I chew it. Now I'm not. Now there is an Avzik Yala.
So in terms of Tuma from an Ofna Bela,
You need a halachic act of eating. Yeah.
Halachic act of eating. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a very complicated... It's the topic of Masechet Taharot. That's what Taharot is about. Much of it is about the halacha of Nilat of Tar.
Okay.
With all of that, we now return to Tosfot. Now that we've laid out several possibilities of what the bittul here means, right? Is it ta'am? Is it the proper way of showing honor? Is it a hefsik? Is it overwhelming quantity? And we saw that again, that some of those models, it's worse if the object that you're eating with it is a mitzvah in some way, and according to some, it's better or equal. So Tosfot assumes that if it's not a mitzvah, it's worse. Ati mara derabanan vatal matzah da right. To have a kol shekein di ilo have a mara filu min derabanan vatal matzah. Right. So the Tosfot says no. Even a mitzvah derabanan is mevatal, and for sure something that's not a mitzvah. What's his logic? Right, because his point is it's not about derech achila, right? In what world would it be the case that mixing a derabana with a daraita would be bad, but mixing a nothing with a daraita would be even worse? Yeah, I mean, if you think it's about doing this properly, right, doing this without showing proper honor to the mitzvah, right? So, again, So we constructed an argument for the Meiri, but Tosfos seems to say the opposite, saying, look, if it's derabanan, so at least it's recognized as a mitzvah. So you might have thought that gives it an identity. The two of them have mitzvah, right, so they can survive. Right, they can both be recognized. It's as if they exist. But if it's just like some dip, what are you doing, right? This is just a corruption. Kamash Malanda, no, even a derabanan, right? So we gave a svara why derabanan might be worse, but Tosfos doesn't buy it. He's saying no, and again, there is a logic to it, right? You could take the Meiri and flip it on its head and say, "What are you talking about?" Right? If it's derabanan, at least it's recognized in the world of mitzvot. It has an identity. They both have identities. It's not a lack of honor, right? V'chule. Not while you're eating it, yeah. You have a meal, but that doesn't mean you eat it with it. It's different. You know, you can have your chicken soup in the middle of the meal because you're supposed to eat this a la sova.
Yeah, but everybody eats breakfast. Like, I'm not even here to talk to you.
I understand, but Tosfos thinks that this is not the case, right? And again, why you would say that. So now we have to construct an argument. So why would you say that a mitzvah is... So again, if it's about time, there shouldn't be a difference unless... Well, let's go through it. If you think it's about taste, then it could be that what? So then you would say, listen, if they're both d'oraita, they're not mevatel each other because God told you to pair them. But if they're d'rabbanan, you might have had a havamina that it's like God's assistant told you to pair them, so maybe that's enough for it to be recognized. Kamash Malan, no, but for sure that if it's not a mitzvah at all, these tastes shouldn't join, right? So you could say that Tosfot is going in a similar direction as the Rashbam, right? You could justify a position like this and say, yeah, tastes nullify each other unless they're meant to be paired, but maybe something's derabanan has some effect on a d'oraita or is somewhere in the world of mitzvah and therefore it pairs spiritually or whatever. Kamash Malan, it doesn't, but you could understand why you'd have a havamina like that. Or you could take a mimri-like approach. It's not respect for the mitzvah. So you could have said, I have a havamina that eating a derabanan, even though we construct an explanation to mimri, but it could be that you take a mimri-like svar and say the opposite, which is no. Listen, if the waiter told you to pair it, so maybe you're still partaking in the three Michelin star restaurant experience. I mean, not the ideal experience, but a secondary experience. But if you bring your own ketchup, Gavalt, that's already an abomination. Right now, Limaskana, you would say that would be the Havamina. And the Maskana would be no, only if Chef Mo tells you to eat it this way, to eat it this way. Anything else is an abomination. Right? But we have enough faith in waiter Kobe that there was at least a Havamina that if he said it, it was okay. Limaskana, it's wrong. But there was no Havamina. Right? So again, I think you could come up with different. I think you could defend it. No, you're definitely. No. For sure, you're obviously a barbarian. No, obviously. Yeah. Okay. Again, if you say it's about bittul, so I'm not sure, right? If you say it's that the quantity, like it physically nullifies it. So again, once something's a mitzvah, on the one hand, it gives it more significance. So maybe it has more bittul power. On the other hand, it's a mitzvah. So maybe they're both mitzvahs. They wouldn't be mevatel. Again, you gotta. I could sort of seeing it go both ways. So you deal it really have to. It's really unclear. But Tosfot says the koshkein lave mara field rabban avatol amatz mashal come on. V'had the shari b'hakomeid. So then, why is it that in Menachal Chav Gimel we say that matzah mitubelet, that if you have spiced matzah lo atu b'samim mavatul matzah, right? So which is the Meiri's point? Right, the Meiri's point is, why do we have sugyot where we see you're allowed to dip the matzah in zatar? Doesn't that show that if it's derech achila, it makes it better rather than worse? So Tosfot sort of cops out on it. He says, "De'ein kim min abesamim kim davar muat."
It's a little bit.
Now, what does that do? So you could say, if it's about tam, it's not enough. If it's about bittul, like the Meiri's for like the Rabbeinu David's formulation, that it's quantitative bittul, so it's nothing. Right? If it's about like showing chibuv to the mitzvah, okay, maybe it's, I don't know. But he notes that there are those who say you aren't allowed to have spiced matzah b'shem Rashi, afiyam machor mishum nimichamila. Right? You said that you can't have it, but that's because it makes it chametz. So that's a totally different story. Fine. So now we get to the second Tosfot, and this is on the two or three shita question. So Ella Amar Rav Ashi Ein Nira Kiperish Akuntris Rashbam Rashi is wrong. Rashbam here. The Mishabesh Rav Ashi Milte De Rabbi Yochanan. Right, that Rav Ashi was messing up Rabbi Yochanan's position. Sharei Tov Lagia Braita. You should change the girsa. Afilu lichaser kamosh anu magin kama brightot, like we do in many brightot. Milashabesh to Rabbi Yochanan. It's better to change the girsa in a brightot than in Rabbi Yochanan, because like brightot, you know, girsa is sometimes problematic. El Rav Ashi matkev abnei yeshiva. Rav Ashi was challenging the yeshiva guys. The mefarshi who explained the cholkin rabbanan, the asri likroch, who forbade wrapping. De imkain my afilo. El rabbanan savre de bechol inyan mitzvata and ben ayde kricha ben kol echad levado. Upligi ahilal de matzech lichroch v'nach rabban afilo mishum hilal. Says Rav Ashi was showing that this was wrong, that this entire analysis was mistaken, and therefore, how many sheets are you left with? Only two, which is chiyuv, or you can. Does anyone, according to him, lamaskana hold that you can't have a sandwich? No, meaning everything we just said, the whole analysis that we spent 45 minutes trying to figure out, according to him, doesn't exist. Hillel says you must pair it. The Chachamim say you can pair it. And nobody says that you can't. So he says, okay, well, if that's the case, then how could you possibly prove that Hillel holds Ein Mevatlot? I understand that the Chachamim hold Ein Mevatlot, because they hold you don't have to eat them as a sandwich, but you can, which shows that mitzvot are not mevatel zuvitzu. But how could you possibly prove, according to Hillel, Ein Mevitzvot Mevatlot zuvitzu? Why not? Right? Because remember, the Gemara still seems to have tried to prove, according to Hillel, that Ein Mitzvot Mevatlot zuvitzu. What's Tosfot's problem? Of course, according to Hillel, you can eat matzah mar together. Why can you eat matzah mar together? Because that's the mitzvah. That proves nothing about, in cases when it's not the mitzvah, whether mitzvah have an impact on each other, l'tov or l'ra. It has zero evidence. Obviously, no one's going to say, oh, from Arba Minim, that must be taken together. I learned something about four things that don't have to be taken together. I mean, like, what does that have to do with anything? According to Hillel, the mitzvah is to have it as a sandwich. So what does that prove about mitzvah mixing in general? Right, and he said, what? At this point, that's what Tosfot assumes. And that's why he asked such a question. He says, I don't understand. If the mitzvah is you must have them together, he says, I don't understand. Dilmashani ocha digali kra. Yeah, the reason here it works is because the Torah said so. This is him. This is Hillel. This is how he's understanding Hillel. Yep. At this point, that's what Tosfot's assuming. V'od halirabbanan nami mevatlot, da'im karcha nami yatsa. And he says, right, if anything, it's the opposite. Right? Because what did the Gemara say? That according to the Shita, that you don't need to make a sandwich. Right? The Gemara tries to bring in who to prove ein mitzvot mevatlot zuzu? Hillel. But not the Chachamim. And what does Tosfot point out? If anything, it's the, based on his read, if anything, it's the opposite. Because Hillel holds that you must eat matzah and maror together. We can learn nothing about this as to whether mitzvot or mevatel zuzu. Because why are you allowed to mix matzah and maror? Because that's the mitzvah, according to Hillel. And according to Tosfot, according to the Chachamim, what's the mitzvah? Whatever you want. No, Tosfot says whatever you want. Either together or separately. Exactly. I was like, I don't understand. It's afuch al afuch. According to Hillel, you have to do it this way, which means we can learn absolutely nothing about cases in which you don't have to mix it. And according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to, but you don't have to. So that should be a proof that you're that aim of it mitzvot mevat l'zu and zu. Again, the Gemara tries to prove it from Hillel and not the Chachamim. He's like, I am at a loss. But he's like, I don't know what's going on. What's his answer? This leads him to a Chiddush. That Hillel also doesn't think you need to. Hillel only thinks it's l'chatchila. Exactly. Yesh lo amar mi disavar de l'chatchila yesh lo lichro chubidi avad nafik. Hillel holds it's only the chatchila, and if that's the case, ki lo karech im kain ba'alma ein mevatlot, and that must show that what? Now this is actually not obvious to me, because if the Torah tells you this is the best way to do it, it's just not ma'akev. That still should tell you that in this case ein mevatlot mevatzu. But Hillel Tosfot doesn't buy my argument. Tosfot says if there were a universal rule of mitzvot mevatlot zuvitzu, then what? then unless you thought you had to do Korech, you would not be allowed to do Korech. Is that obvious to you? It's not obvious to me. Right? This is not obvious to me. Because if Hillel has a pasuk that tells you you should do Korech, that would be enough that you can. Right? And that in this case, if nothing else, the pasuk is revealing that Eimitz and Matlutzu Itzu. Tosfos doesn't buy this. Tosfos says no. Unless you're absolutely obligated to do something, if there's a universal rule that prevents you from doing it, not a local rule, but a universal rule that has implications in this scenario, that's enough to say what? Don't do it. The fact that Hillel says, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it, even though you don't technically have to, according to Tosfos, should be a proof that Eimitz and Mevatel do it too. Very good. So he says, the imkain itzrich kra hacha lahatir kricha, v'lom ed hacha lo mevatlei. He says, but which is in general aim of atlo zu et zu. No, I'm sorry. Let's try it again. This is very confusing. So Tosfos says like this. According to Hillel, you can, sorry, you should. You don't have to. So according to that, how do you prove that mitzvot aim of atlo zu et zu? Because, no, this is how he reads it. So this is his very weird. So he says like this. This is how it works. According to the Chachamim, in general, mitzvot are mevatlo zuetzu. And therefore, what do they use the pasuk for? To teach you that you can, even though normally it would be mevatel, that you can eat them together. Yeah, meaning the point of the pasuk is simply to teach you that ein mitzvot mevatel zu etzu. Not that you have to mix them. It's just that if you want to, you can. In this case only. Correct. According to Hillel, though, if he in general held mitzvot mevatel, Mevatlo zuetzu, then what would the pasuk be necessary to teach? That you're allowed to eat them together. But the fact that Hillel takes the pasuk a step farther, not to chiyuv according to him, but to lichatchila, rather than to the minimalist read, which is you can. What does that show? He doesn't need the pasuk to teach you the minimalist because he holds. Oh, okay. Ein mevatlo zu etzu. So he says, how did the Gemara get to it?
Okay.
Exactly, right? What is he saying? He's saying, according to Chachamim, how do I know the mitzvot ein mevatlo zu etzu? Sorry, the mitzvot mevatlo zu etzu, because their maskana is you're allowed to, because the pasuk is always going to lift you one step above what you already knew. And therefore, according to Chachamim, in general, mitzvot mevatlo zu etzu. So if I have a pasuk, what does it teach you? That you can, but you don't have to. And Hillel says, no, in general, mitzvot ein mevatlo zu etzu. Ah, what does the pasuk come to teach you? That it's lechatchila. But amazingly, according to him, but he says, but what is Tosfos not willing to say? That according to Hillel, it's a chiyuv. Because if it was a chiyuv, then what? Obviously, this would have nothing to do with mitzvot mevatlo zu etzu. Because it's the mitzvah. So in order for this to even be a discussion, it has to be for Tosfos that nobody thinks you absolutely have to, because then, obviously, mitzvot mevatel zu etzu or ein mevatel zu etzu would be irrelevant. Right? So he needs to find the happy medium, which is that nobody... Correct. So now what do we have? Okay? So now this is what we have, okay? If you're getting lost, we have... Okay. What?
ChatGPT was trying to
name your DriveTower app?
What does that mean?
The question is, why is it the poor son?
Okay, so now, to summarize things that we've been seeing, okay? So now, we have the three shita, three or two visit shita, okay? So what do we have? According to Rashbam, there are three, right? Three. There is Hillel, which is Chayav. Then there's Asur. Why? Because of Mevatlot. Right? And then there's Ein Mevatlot. Right? So Mutter. Correct? Then there's Tosfot. Tosfot says, La Halacha, there's only two. There is Hillel and the Chachamim. But according to him, Hillel is Shud, and the Chachamim is can, but there's no one who says must, and no one who says azur limaskana. Right? Good. Now, how did he get here? So, Tosfot got here by saying that if the pasuk meant chayav, then what? We could learn nothing about mivatlo. Right? So the fact that we learn anything Mevatlot means, according to Chachamim, the norm is Mevatlot. Right? Mevatlot. And the Pasuk bumps you up to Ein Mevatlot, but Reshut. Right? Can. And according to Hillel, he must in general hold. Sorry. This is right. Right? He holds in general Ein Mevatlot, and therefore can needs no pasuk, right? So can is obvious, which means that the pasuk comes to tell you should.
Okay.
Right? That's Tosfot. Now, we also noted that was part of what we did today. The other thing we did today was Binto, what are we talking about? So one possibility is Tom. Two is quantitative overload. I don't know, something like that. Chibuk mitzvah, and then that's the bittel, and then hasek. Right, and then we talked about whether non-mitzvah is better or worse within each of these shitot, where the Meiri comes to the conclusion that non-mitzvah is better because it's derech achila. Tosfot assumes that non-mitzvah is worse. And then we went through within each of these positions how you would plug in those shitot. And we saw that the halacha of the Kibbutz Pasuk like the Binyamin's read, sort of like the Meiri, based on the Prichadash. This is not obvious. I really thought we would take, it would take one day. Kanarai was wrong. It would take 2 days total. Kanarai was wrong.
No.
What? Okay, that's good. I told you that they would hold. It's okay, but we've. Okay, well, we still have another toast vote, so let's say one more day. Okay, one more day on this. I really thought we would get it done. No, I know, but it's tomorrow because we have Dr. England first. There's not Hachan anyway, so it's probably not a bad idea. We're just continuing. What? Oh, sorry, I didn't send it out to you guys. I sent it to faculty tomorrow morning at 9:30. I'll stop.